Blog Talk Radio.
So for me to sit down, do a budget and say, oh, this is easy. We just don't eat out for the next 3 months. You know, I could see the numbers, crunch that, and, you know, tell my husband what he had to do. And so he desired to be debt-free, but I think when we sat down and figured out what we really had to do, it took a little bit of convincing for me to be like, hey, this is really worth it. Like, I know you like to do this. I know you like to do that. So just, you know, being like the visionary, painting the picture, like just being able to connect the dots.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. Actually, I love to talk a lot, except this last 2 weeks I've actually been off, if you've noticed. I have not been uploading new shows. I've been digging into the archives because I'm actually suffering right now from a viral infection in my throat. Oh my. But no worries. We still want to inspire you to stay focused on your debt-free journey. So I dug out an interview from 2013, wow, with Aja McClanahan, who is now currently my good buddy, my blogging partner, accountability friend, prayer partner. But this was probably our initial conversation way back in 2013, where she's talking about how she paid off over $120,000 in debt and lives in a debt-free house. Which incidentally, Aja's on a new journey now of wealth building. She's actually renovating a Greystone property in the same neighborhood, but she's also doing that with a stretch faith goal of trying to pay this property off in 12 months. So I'll bring you more updated info on what Aja's currently focused on, all courtesy of being committed to a life that is debt-free. So it's kind of exciting. As soon as my throat improves, I'll be back with you guys to restart the Midday Money Show weekly, because there's so much to talk about, bring you up on my issues with the squatter, still going through that. But in the meantime, enjoy this blast from the past, and you can find all the notes mentioned on today's show at my website. Look for the episode Creative Twist on Debt Freedom at debtfreedivas.org.
Aja and her husband have recently become debt-free. And so as of when was that?
It was in mid-December of 2013.
So just
brand new.
Yeah, just a few months ago, she was screaming, I am debt-free. So congratulations on that. How much did you all pay off?
Well, the number kind of rolled around because it took us a while to get it. But when we were married, we had about $60,000 combined in student loans, maybe about $10,000 in consumer debt. And then a few years into our marriage, I started a business and used credit cards, so added about another $20,000, and we got a car. So I think that brought the total amount up to about $110,000. And so we had differing periods of when we were, like, really, as Dave Ramsey would say, good, solid, intense, and there were times where we kind of, you know, either I was, like, having kids or staying at home. So we've been married for 10 years, so it's taken about 10 years, and we probably got really intense in the last couple of years to pay off probably like the last 20 or 30,000.
So was there a point then, and I totally get that, it took us about seven years, and yes, gazelle intensity is a great founding principle, but sometimes it can be difficult to maintain that over a long period of time. I think that's one of the reasons why he definitely suggests people try to focus like that for 18 to 24 months. But was there a period where you and or your husband decided, you know what, it's time to get serious about paying off this debt?
Yeah, so when we went to church, our pastor was really passionate about really just preaching dependence on God and being free to, you know, live and love your neighbor. And a big part of that was financial freedom. So we were kind of exposed to that for about 5 years, and we kind of play around with the idea, like, do you think we could really be debt-free? Maybe not. So in 2006, we decided, and so we decided that we would be debt-free. But we really didn't have a plan. We just knew, we just kind of made up our mind, like, yes, this is what we want. And it probably took us another couple of years before we, you know, got a hold of Dave Ramsey's book, and, you know, I started working and taking contract jobs and being a little more intense. So maybe around 2006, and just really got more efficient about it around 2010, 2011.
So how would you describe, so before maybe 2006, how would you describe your approach to managing money?
Oh, it was totally reactive. I grew up in a household, and I know my mom did the best that she could. She was a single mom, but because she was a single mom, a lot of the financial planning was just really reactive, from emergency to emergency. And fortunately, right before I got married, I had a span of time where I lived with my grandmother, and she was, you know, old school, lived through depression, and she was just really just adamant about paying your bills. Like, you don't live your life, you don't have fun with your friends, you don't talk on the phone unless your bills are paid, unless you responded to all your mail. So that was, like, that at least kept us through the first 5 years. I always think to myself, like, if I didn't have that drilled into my skull before marriage, I don't know if we would have been married for too long. That carried us through the first, you know, 5 years or so of our marriage. And then at one point, we just got tired from jumping from emergency to emergency, and we were like, there has to be a plan, and that's when we started kind of playing around with Dave Ramsey, listening to the radio, and then I finally got the book, and then we had made a point where we were like, okay, we're really going to do this. Let's do a budget, and let's start snowballing and walking through the steps like for real.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Were you guys both on board? Was it a point, because you mentioned that you guys were kind of tired of jumping from emergency to emergency. Was it something where you both were on board with getting out of debt, or did somebody have to be convinced?
Yeah, so we both knew in our mind that we wanted to have financial freedom, but I think that I was the one who was more like, because I'm used to like planning numbers, spreadsheets. That's just in my nature. I'm very analytical. So for me to sit down, do a budget and say, oh, this is easy. We just don't eat out for the next 3 months. You know, I could see the numbers, crunch that, and, you know, tell my husband what he had to do. And so he desired to be debt-free, but I think when we sat down and figured out what we really had to do, it took a little bit of convincing for me to be like, hey, this is really worth it. Like, I know you like to do this. I know you like to do that. So just, you know, being like the visionary, painting the picture like, hey, you know, you want this. His dream is to, like, get this drop top and, you know, do this and do that. And so just being able to connect the dots for him, like, I know we really wanted to eat out. I know we really want to go to that wedding, your friend's wedding, or whatever the case, whatever we had to miss, but we kind of, you know, I kind of took the lead in consoling us when we were depressed about what we were doing because we, you know, we had a goal to reach. So
give me a practical example, because I think that in so many relationships that is a challenge. One person drinks the Kool-Aid, if you will, and the other the other might have to, you know, come along or maybe doesn't even come along, you know, presents an obstacle, a barrier to getting on track with the finances. So give me a, if you don't mind, if you can, if your husband is open to it, you know, a nice PG example, but an example where you were able to convince him to forego some of those desires, because that's very very practical thing. I want a new car. And, you know, forget about this debt freedom stuff that might happen in the future. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I will say that probably 95% of the time after we talk, we would be on the same page because he's a pretty frugal person. I mean, there's some things that he just really likes, like gym shoes and cars and things like that. But I'm really blessed to be able to say that he's never been a really impetuous, you know, spender, just like, oh, I came home, you know, I've heard people like, my husband came home with a car today. Like, how do you do that? How do you come home with a car? So he's, you know, he's pretty frugal, and we're both kind of like that. But there were times, like, his family is really, they're big gift givers. They are big, they love to go out and eat and celebrate birthdays and things like that. And so that was just how he grew up. Like, birthdays were really important for him. It wasn't hard for me. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. We didn't really celebrate birthdays. So birthdays could come and go in our family. But for him, I could tell, like, that was you know, that was, I don't want to say shameful, but it kind of, I think it made him feel a little bit isolated from his family. Like, you know, everybody's going out to eat. They're going to be having fun. And so I think those were times where, you know, he got down a little bit. And really, I don't try to be like all religious all the time, but the key for us just having God in our lives and that comment back there, like, I really had to depend on God. Like, you know, I know my husband is down, and I know that, you know, he really needs some help, right? And so God would just help me to just really minister to him in those times. Like, if he couldn't go out to eat with his family, you know, maybe I would make something special for him at home that was going to be cheaper, or more convenient for what our goal was. There's times like that, and then there was times when there was actually one time where we had a big chunk of money come our way, and I knew exactly what to do with it. I was like, this is the exact amount of one-year student loans. Yes. You know, I was just excited. And he's like, no, I'm going to fix up my dad's Corvette. You know, his dad had just passed. And so his mother gave us this Corvette, and it was nice, but, it took some money and energy to, like, fix it up, and we just weren't not in a financial position to do that because, again, the path we were on. And he was like, no, we're going to fix up the Corvette. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I could feel, like, my blood pressure rising. It was going to get serious. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I had to take it to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, you know what we're trying to do. I don't want to fight. You know, you either going to have to speak to his heart, or if we do fix up this Corvette, let me be at peace. I had to lay that fight down, you know.
Okay, so inquiring minds want to know, what did you end up doing?
Yeah, so for about 3 days, he was intense. He didn't want to talk about it. He was set. He had his mind set. But I know that there's power in prayer, and God softened his heart.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so, I don't like to be all super religious, but for me and what we do, I need Jesus all day, every day.
All right.
Those are pivotal points that can really make or break, they can make or break your relationship. They can build up trust or they can tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had a few situations like that, and they usually revolve around money, where he wants to do one thing, I want to do another thing. And sometimes we did choose something wrong. And I knew it was wrong, but just out of keeping the peace and keeping our relationship intact and keeping us on, one accord, I went along with it and got in the blessing us anyway, just because I was being a team player. So, it gets real.
I mean, and that's exactly it. It's very real. And if God bless you, if faith is something that you're able to depend on, trust, and believe, it is definitely something that you want to use in a situation, because we know that so many marriages, my stat is that 80% of marriages that fail fight money fights and money problems as a reason for the marriage to solution. So it is a very real issue to get a handle on. So thank you very much for sharing that. All right, so let's talk process. You said it took about 10 years total. With some starts and fits and just the last couple of years, you all were able to get Gazelle intent. So you use the Dave Ramsey process, correct?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
about that appeal to you?
So I like the idea. Well, I listen to his podcast very frequently, and what he says is that if there's hope at the end of your activities, it's easier for you to keep going. So he had presented a process or a plan that was doable, and it was proven, like many other people had done it. So it wasn't like some pie in the sky, unreachable thing. It was something that had been proven over and over again by millions of people.
And just so we're clear, I know most people that follow us know that I'm a big fan of Uncle Dave, as I call him, and his process is like your grouchy uncle kind of that, tells you what you need to know. But his process is called the debt snowball. So basically that is where you list your debts from smallest to largest, and then after you've done your budget, you know exactly how much you have extra to throw at the smallest debt while paying minimums on all the rest. So it's not the only way to skin a cat, but it's definitely a way that's worked for Aja and her family, and it's worked for mine as well. And like she said, millions of others. So what was the most challenging part about this process?
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's just like the alienation that you feel from friends and family who haven't gotten it yet. And then too, there's that part. I'm actually working on writing an account of our experience, because some really hilarious things happen, some not so hilarious things happen, and everything else in between. And one of the things I thought about was going to visit a friend. And I was in her house being really judgmental, like, I know their financial situation, and there's no way they should have both napkins and paper towels. I was like that. I had become that much of a miser, and I was like, I was like irate. It had affected the visit a little bit. I'm like, how do you have napkins and paper towels? I know what you all are doing financially. So I think from that perspective, you can just go, like, really too far with it, because, you know, there was a time where we just felt really desperate because, you know, I think you had mentioned on some of your on your blog at one point, frugal fatigue.
You get
there, and, you know, you're like, your mind is just not working right. Your judgment is off, and I definitely had some off judgment in some time. So just, you know, feeling different from other people, you know, looking at other people and taking them apart financially, like, you know, looking at them, like, I wonder what they're, look at them driving that car, I wonder what their car note is, how much do they make, it, you know, it just makes your mind, I'm just an analytical person.
Well, how do you overcome that, and how do you kind of dial back from that? Because I know that's probably very real, just basically comparing, comparing your life to what you think, what you can see on the outside of what other people are doing, but how do you dial back from that?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is, again, just having the presence of the Holy Spirit to just tame my thoughts and just be like, you know, because I know people who look very, well, you know, put together on the outside, but I also know on the back end of all that stuff is, like, constant arguments with their spouse, problems with their kids in school, and that's just, like, a price that I'm not willing to pay. So not that it makes me feel better, like, oh, I know their life is really terrible, but it lets me know that, you know, what you see on the surface is not all there is. So that does give me just some comfort knowing that I've made a conscious choice for a reason. Like, I really want to live my life on purpose.
Okay. So now you have the distinction of being debt-free, house and everything, correct?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the house. Let's talk about how you are living at the age of, and I'm going to, mid-30s?
Yeah,
mid-30s.
That's right.
Okay, so in your mid-30s, how are you and your husband debt-free, including the house? Let's talk about that part.
Yeah, so the easy thing for us was that we never actually got a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps us be, you know, totally debt-free.
Okay.
And the reason why that happened is because in 2008, my husband and I had actually, we were still kind of like, you know, we had decided we wanted to be debt-free, but we knew we needed a house, and we were like on the fence of, like, how do you balance that? Because, like, nobody gets a house without a mortgage. It just doesn't happen, so they say.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, we just felt a really strong conviction in our hearts that if we were going to be debt-free, that had to be everything. So we actually came into agreement, like, if we're going to be debt-free, let's do this for everything. You know, if we can't get it using our faith and our, you know, common sense and our hardworking ethic or whatever, you know, whatever the formula is to get things that you need, if we can't get it that way, then we didn't want it. It wasn't worth it. So we agreed. And we even prayed over it, and, you know, we went to the Word of God, which is where we go when we have needs, and we found scriptures that pertain to, you know, times when God actually did provide that to people, because at the end of the day, he doesn't want us to be slaves, you know, working in life for things. You know, the things are really made to serve us so we can serve others.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of what we had in our minds, like, we did want to be available for our kids, you know, for the community, things like that. And just taking on debt would put pressures on us that would, you know, prevent a lot of those things from happening. So long story short, we decided we want a house, but we're not going to take a mortgage. And people laughed at us.
Because you were telling people that. You didn't keep that to yourself. You were putting it out there. Huh?
That was probably not smart because, you know, it discouraged us. But we got over it real quick. But people were like, how are you going to do it? What, you going to be a millionaire, you know? people were, you know, they made fun of us. They thought we were like, no, but the Bible says, and they're like, you know, but that's the Bible. And, you know, so we decided, and so we had stopped our search with a realtor. We were going to start the mortgage pre-approval process. We're going to go through all that stuff. And we stopped. And at the time, it was even harder because we were actually living with my mom.
Mm.
So it looked really grim. We were like, but we decided, like, I don't know if she was going to let us live there for another 50 years, but if we had to do that to get ourselves together, we were prepared to, you know, be the only person that we knew without a house. So
wow.
whatever the cost was, we counted the cost. And I just, you know, I really believe that, you know, God is, he respects our faith. You know, he's not a respecter of persons, but he does respect our faith. And so we made that move by faith. And about a year later, a relative of ours passed away and left the house to my father. It was my grandmother. And my father actually didn't want the house because he, you know, lived comfortably in the suburbs.
And where's the house?
The house is in, yeah, that's a good point to bring up. It's actually in the neighborhood of Inglewood in Chicago. So,
now, explain what that means for people that don't necessarily live in Chicago or are not familiar with the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, so it's basically, if you think of the picture of, you know, urban blight, under-resourced, abject poverty, you know, you would see Inglewood right next to that definition
mm-hmm.
in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're talking drug houses, gang activity,
shooting.
You know, the highest, every statistic you can think of, teen pregnancy, truancy,
right.
Violence,
school district, right. Mm-hmm.
School, foreclosures, all of that.
So most people who are running away from that type of neighborhood. You and your husband take your children. You have two?
Yes.
You and your husband take your children, and you move right in.
We move into the neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. At first we turned it down because we were also living in a cushy suburb, and we were like, we're not going to move from Homewood to Inglewood. That's insane. But, you know, a couple of weeks went by, my husband was like, wait a minute, we did say we wanted a house debt-free. And so it took us a while to even come to that point. And so we finally said, yes, we believe this is it. So we actually did. We received the house. We moved in. A lot of hesitancy. But you know what? At the end of the day, I figured, well, what if we had bought that $300,000 house in the suburbs, my husband working full-time, me working full-time, kids in school and then after school care until 5 and 6 in the evening. Is that really living?
Mm.
And to me, you know, we had a brief taste of that, and it drove me absolutely crazy. It was hard to be away from my kids. It was hard to eat out every day. It was hard to, you know, to fight about who couldn't do what because there was no time and no energy. That was not living to me. And so, you know, people say, oh, are you afraid for your safety? Because I feel like I'm living so much more here than I would have if I was, like, you know, looking prosperous in some suburb and I knew that my marriage and my wife and my kids were falling apart.
Mm. Well said, well said. Well, that's one of the things I definitely love about this opportunity is just to get to meet people and to know what things are doable. You know, and it might not look like that for you. You might not be willing to move your small children and your family into a community that has, and it does, to be very realistic, there are a lot of social ills that are plaguing the community. But for Aja and her family, this is what worked according to the things in terms of goals that they set for their families. They wanted to be debt-free. They wanted to be debt-free, including the home, and they had this opportunity that was presented to them. And so they've taken it. And I commend you for taking such an amazing step. And I, you know, I'm very familiar with the community because she lives right around the corner from my grandmother, which is where I stayed while going to college so that I could get a debt-free degree. You know, so, I mean, you make choices according to what's going to work for you and according to what goals you set for your family and not necessarily according to the image or the style that you're trying to present to other people about what success looks like. You know, so I definitely commend you and your family for doing that. And just, again, it's just an encouragement for other people to look and say, what can I do
where I am with what I have to achieve the goals that I'm trying to achieve. So kudos to you, Aja. So before we get out of here, again, why don't you mention where people can connect with you if they're interested to follow along with the stories and the experiences that you're definitely talking about.
Yeah, so I'm maintaining a blog around financial principles and just overall better quality of life. And it's at www.principlesofincrease.com, and I also have a corresponding Facebook page that you can find there on the blog. And I am also working on a detailed account of our journey to debt freedom, just to get people familiar with the emotional highs and lows. I'll leave the practical steps and processes to Dave Ramsey and some of the more savvy financial gurus. I just really felt led to touch on some of the emotional things that people go through in this journey. I think it helps so you can just be prepared and know that you're not alone.
What are you willing to do with the resources, the time, and the talents that you have right now? Talk about thinking outside the box, folks. What can you do differently? Let's set a goal and start taking steps to make that goal a reality. That's going to do it for our show today. What a great show. I'm inspired, and I hope you are too. Stay connected with the Divas throughout the week. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/debtfreeforlife. Search for Debt Free Divas on Twitter or visit our website. Again, that's debtfreedivas.org. Until next week, everyone, have a great money week.